life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Brian Smith, and this is episode 135 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is March 29th, 2014, and joining us today is Bradley C. Meek and the cart driver himself, Scamp!
Yay!
Anthony is not here because he is ill. He says he's suffering from hay fever, which seems a likely story in March. I'm going to assume he's hungover.
He specifically said, though, he's not hungover.
Oh, well, I think that's the guilt talking.
Well, he said, like, I wish it was something cool, like hungover, because being hungover is cool, whereas being getting hay fever is kind of, oh, I got hay fever. Oh.
So no retro recap, because it's the first episode. It seems unfair to leave him out of having a chance to say he doesn't like Genshinken. But we're bringing back the UK anime release is of sorts for spring, because I was going to do this on each of these preview episodes from now on. Well, so look ahead 3 months and see what UK anime releases were worth taking note of. And there was a huge list, which I whittled down to 5. I think there is 64 Blu-rays and DVDs listed on the BVA's list for the next 3 months.
Jeez.
Of which only 5 I had any interest in. And one of these I already owned anyway. So you've got coming up, well, actually just came out this week, was Tiger and Bunny The Beginning on Blu-ray, which I've seen twice now in the cinema. It's a good recap of the first 2 episodes of Tiger and Bunny. It's not like a series recap. It is literally just the first 2 episodes.
Oh,
and
geez.
Then basically a third new episode added to make up an entire movie.
I don't know how I feel about that from that description. I really dig Tiger and Bunny until the second half. I was only okay with it for a while there.
I saw it in the cinema and thought it was slightly better than the TV series. But
I think they redid some stuff and they added some jokes which weren't there before.
Yeah. And they actually gave Rock Bison something to do, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Particularly.
Yes, which was stuff. Like the TV series gave him nothing.
So is it like animation quality for a TV series, or did it get upgraded to movie quality?
Upgraded for movie quality.
Okay, that's good.
Not by much, man.
Not by much, no. But remember, this is anime movies, so that covers a wide range.
Tiger and Bunny was very well animated anyway, so...
But the new villain they introduced is really good.
That's encouraging. Now. I always thought that kind of... the weakness of Tiger and Bunny is there weren't good villains to put up against our heroes.
It's a Kappei Yamaguchi villain, which is... That villain is the source of my idea that he must just be waiting for them to recast Lupin the Third so he can get that part, because there's so many of those parts in other shows, it's like ridiculous. Then you've got on 5th of May, Dragon Ball Season 1, which you can get...
What's that?
It's the first 28 episodes of Dragon Ball, the original.
What's a Dragon Ball?
Well, it's these balls. If you get all 7, you can summon a dragon, Shenlong, and he'll grant you a wish.
Sounds cool.
Which in some cases may just be to be younger, as we discover in the recent Dragon Ball movie. Yeah, so that's £20 for 28 episodes of Dragon Ball on Amazon at the moment. I don't think I've seen the anime, but I've been reading the... That section of the comic, and it's a lot more fun than Zed is.
Oh, I love the first season of Dragon Ball. It's the first 13 episodes. Yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball.
No, this is
Dragon Ball. This is Dragon Ball. This was when Goku was a kid and everything was hilarious. I really think the first 13 episodes of the TV series are basically perfect. And the entire... first Dragon Ball series ranks as one of my favorites. I still haven't followed it up with Dragon Ball Z because there's a part of me that's afraid that it's going to kind of sully what I like about Dragon Ball.
It kind of gets sillier again towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's quite serious and brutal. Kai is on British TV at the moment, on one of the satellite channels, almost constantly. Okay, then you've got also in May, at the end of May, it was in April originally, but this is the reason why I gave up doing these things in the first place, because these dates never stick, is the Nerima Daikon Brothers Complete Collection for, ooh, a bit pricey, £26.57 reduced on Amazon, which is the Nabashin musical anime, and also satirical anime, a rarity in both. If you like Nabashin stuff, this is the better end of his work, I think.
So actual satire, or just we make a reference of a funny thing?
Oh, actual satire.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actual straight-up satire.
How many of actual satires is there in anime? There's like Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei, Gintama at a Stretch...
There's bits of, that recent, at least one episode of that Akitaro Doichi thing he read on Anime Bancho is, because it's a complete piss take of The Wind Rises, and also the goings on the studio.
Detroit Metal City is a satire, it's very...
Yes, that I think there's loads of media satires.
Yeah.
Of which bits of this is, but it's also, there is political satire in there as well.
Yeah, there's not very much political satire. That, again, that's mostly Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei Gintama, the two I can think of. And, although I haven't seen it, what's that gag manga Biori?
It's real more. I'm sure there is bit episodes where there is specific satire in there, but it's quite often historical parody and also just complete surrealness.
And complete nonsense, yeah.
Then we're moving into June. The thing I have dropped money for already. Well, not yet, but I've got them on the pre-order. £85 for the Gurren Lagann Complete Collection Blu-ray set.
is that in real money, like $125?
Yeah, so still cheaper than what it would cost you to get the American release.
That's not bad, yeah. I'd pay that for a Blu-ray collection of Gurren Lagann, yeah.
Does it include all those extra, like, music video-y things?
Yeah.
All right.
And the films.
Oh! Ooh. I think the second film for Gurren Lagann is, like, better than the second half of the TV series. I love that film to bits.
It's basically going to contain any, and I think they've announced what they know it's going to contain, and then they're going to try and get the rights to contain as much other stuff they could cram into it, from what they were saying.
Might be cheaper for me to actually import that Blu-ray to America than to buy the collection here.
No, I'm pretty sure it will be. and then finally, there's the, at the end of June, you've got the Cowboy Bebop Complete Collection on Blu-ray, which I've got the two half-season collections, but that's £33.87 at the moment on Amazon for pre-order. And assuming they're the same pressings, they're not gone back, they look great. There's the only minor quibble, I would say, is you can't skip the openings and the endings.
But why would you skip the opening for Bebop?
Because you're watching all the episodes in a row for a podcast, and you don't want to watch the opening 13 times.
I think even watching for a podcast, I would watch the Bebop opening every single time.
Opening and ending, Bebop is one of the few anime series where I feel like I'm missing something if I don't watch both things.
I don't watch the ending. I actually don't really like the ending to Bebop that much. But
really?
Yeah. No, it's just kind of bland.
Wow.
Yeah, no, never mind. All right,
look. I'm with Scamp here. I'm not that much of a fan of the ending to Bebop either.
I won't go into it.
Okay, don't. That's all of notes. Everything else is rubbish. Unless anyone wants to bring anything else. Scamp, have you seen anything on the horizon that tickles your fancy from UK releases?
No, I haven't looked because I'm saving money. I tend to be a cheap person. When I buy something, it's because it's been out for like a year or two.
Yeah, I've noticed recently that not for pre-orders, Amazon's best for pre-orders, but for stuff which has been around a long time, Zavvi is often cheaper than Amazon.
I got Bacano for like a tenner there.
Yeah, because I noticed the Blood Sea Blu-ray is 14 quid there now, and for that price I may actually buy it, just so I can force people to watch the last episode.
You monster. That's what I want to see. I saw gifs of the last episode, and that was enough to scare me.
It is a glorious thing. But that may come up again later, because there is a show from the past season which has connections to it. Right, on to our double show topics. We're going to talk about the previous season, the winter season's anime, what we watched, what we enjoyed, and in my case, what I failed to watch, and from what we picked on the last show, the winter preview. And then we'll preview the summer season with what we're looking forward to. So, I've got the list in alphabetical order here of what we put down. And first up is Ace of the Diamond, which was a series continuing on from the previous season. And Bradley.
Yeah, I put that down. I erased it later because I really only watched one episode from
I did the math.
Four. A preface to probably a lot of my discussion on this podcast. So normally when I talk about a series on these preview episodes, I'm up to date. Always. This time, I'm graduating, I had to do a job hunt, and I was just way too busy to catch up on what was otherwise a really good season of anime.
Finally, so, you're one of those, Bradley.
Finally. I'm becoming normal, that's what's happening.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one, which is also a Bradley watched show. I didn't press on any further than I'd done previous season. Gundam Build Fighter.
Oh, man. You really need to keep going on with this, Brian. It's probably the best Gundam TV series since the 90s. It is just so much fun. It's clear that the staff is enjoying themselves, just making up increasingly preposterous Gundam fights. It looks great. It's got this really fun feel to it. It's like the opposite of that really grim, messy, and kind of pathetic Gundam Age ending. I've been really enjoying it. It's consistently a highlight of the week when I can get to it, so.
Good, good. Then Hajime no Ippo Rising. This is another Bradley watched show.
Yeah, it's still very, very shaky production from Madhouse, and it's a shame because the original Hajime no Ippo TV series looked great and kind of gave the fight some nice punch. And this time around, the animation is really flaccid. There's no other way around it. That said, like, the storyline is strong enough that sometimes it makes up for it. I'm in the middle of watching a really good fight. And apparently, after that is a beloved story arc from the manga that covers the coach's experience in World War II. So I'm looking forward to seeing the series finished out with that. So overall, pretty good, largely carried on the strength of the original manga, though. There's probably nothing about this anime adaptation in particular worth recommending it if you've already read the manga.
Mm-hmm. Now, while Anthony isn't here, I do have some of his notes, and he had on his list Hamatora, which apparently he'd even forgotten that he'd watched. It was bad.
I saw the first episode. It was very, very bad. It was like a wannabe K, and that's pretty low standards for anything, really. Do you remember?
I'll defend Hamatora. I thought it was kind of clever and fun to watch with awful, awful, awful animation.
Well, yeah, I think it was mostly the animation that put me off.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It looks terrible in the effects work, especially for that psychedelic crazy. Oh, that was painful to look at. But I kind of enjoyed it as a gentle X-Men knockoff that could actually be pretty witty at times. Characters would do silly things, and I got some good laughs out of this. I'm not going to finish it. It's not compelling enough to compete with everything else that I was trying to watch this season, but it's a decent show. On a weaker season, I might have tried to finish it up.
Now, here's something I forgot to put on my list at the last minute. There was one sort of new thing on Anime Bancho this year so far, which was three episodes of Hana no Zundamaru Junk, which was a spin-off of that Akitaro Daiichi Hana no Zundamaru show that he did last year. And they were basically just silent gag anime, and literally just one gag each episode is.
Huh.
And it was like, this is almost my perfect anime. It's just a gag delivery system without any other distractions.
Oh, man. I guess I'll check it out. Like we've talked about before on the podcast, though, I'm really hot and cold with Daiichi.
Well, it won't take you long to check him out. Like I said, that's true. Each episode is literally just one joke.
Okay. How long is each episode? Does it take 3 minutes to get the joke out? Perhaps two?
If that.
Okay.
Someone knows
if Crunchyroll picks it up.
It still has an opening and ending song.
I'm not even sure if it does. Like, it was only 3 episodes and they came out about a month ago, so. I just remember enjoying them. I think one came out for Valentine's Day. That's the one I specifically remember. Because it was a joke around the idea of women giving men chocolates for Valentine's Day. Okay. I won't spoil any more because that probably be almost the entire episode gone. Okay, next up, Happiness Charge, Pretty Cure. Bradley, you've been watching all of this. I watched episode 1.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really enjoying Pretty Cure. It's this Pretty Cure. It's a very expressive take on Pretty Cure this time around, especially in the faces. It's much cuter than Doki Doki. It's much lighter. It's not really doing anything new per se, especially with all the comparisons it's getting with Hardcatch. But it's just so much fun. It's goofy. It is really, really goofy at times. Like a super attack that's called Lollipop Hip Hop, where one of the magical girls will do a hip hop inspired dance saying yo 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 over and over again, and magical notes will drop out of the sky and obliterate monsters. It's just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it, but it didn't really catch me. There was lots of nostril shots, I seem to remember, talking about the characterization. And that Cure Princess has both Luffy's laugh and also one of his attacks, at least, in the first episode. I don't know whether she's got any more of Luffy's attacks in future episodes.
I really like her as a character. So Doki Doki kind of had magical girls that were also role models instead of being someone you could relate to. Whereas Smile Pretty Cure was more about having relatable magical girls. And Happiness Charge is kind of a combination of both. Hime is a spoiled princess, so I think she's more of the relatable character because she has a lot of growing up to do. But her best friend feels like she dropped out of Doki Doki and that she's kind of the perfect role model and leader who knows exactly how to make friends and always does the right thing. And the way they work together, they've got good chemistry. Their friendship is just entertaining to watch as they try to figure each other out. A lot of my favorite Pretty Cure moments tend to be character moments like that. Futari Wall is a great example of that. Anyway.
Okay, moving on to something we've all watched. Hazuki no Reitetsu. Scamp. Chance to speak. Tell people about this.
Tell people about Hazuki. Like to describe it, it's a slice of life political hell show. It's about Prime Minister, basically. Think about it like that. It's about a Just like a minister.
He's kind of like middle management of hell.
Yeah, middle management of hell.
Combination secretary, middle manager, vice president of hell.
I do think he's a lot like the guy from Yes, Prime Minister. The guy who, like, basically runs the shop.
Sir Humphrey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's basically Sir Humphrey. I like the show because it's so dry with its humor.
That was exactly what I wrote down. That was the very first word was dry.
It's so dry. And just like how they're very, for things like he grows these plants, which are fish on the end of stalk and they scream. And it's just like, yup, I grow these plants. Oh, they're quite nice. I see. And like the ending song is two of them screaming as they're flying down a railway line. And you're like, what is this show? But it's quite happy to just kind of roll with it as well. It's also weirdly violent as well and kind of sadistic. Well, that's because it's set in hell. Though their descriptions for the different hells, like he's describing different departments inside a, like a store. It's like, and this is where we deal with the paperwork. And this is where we relentlessly torture the people who tried to molest ladies while they were alive. And here, and everyone just there like calmly taking notes.
It's hell as corporate bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a salaryman's fantasy is the best way to put it, because Huzuki is an incredibly competent middle manager, and he basically runs the show because he's better than everybody, including his boss. That's it. Like, that's the show right there. And it's a sign of my age that I thought that that's an incredibly appealing fantasy to me.
Although,
right now.
the manga in and the anime in Japan are read nearly exclusively by women. It is.
Oh yeah,
mixture.
The boys are very pretty in this.
Yeah, and there's the obvious equivalent character in Heaven who, and they annoy each other to the point where obviously the audience is hoping they're going to break out in kissing.
Love equals hate, as we all know. As the
well,
new
nothing fixes
of...
that like a good hate fuck.
You know, with the new season of Durara out, you know, just let's remind all ourselves that hate equals love.
And also that all the animals as well kind of reminded me a bit of Polar Bear Cafe.
I could see that, yeah.
Cause there
I
are...
actually find the dog to be like the least funny character in it. Like, as a general rule. Like, every character, actually for most part, every character is not Hozuki, except for a few occasional, like, single episode characters. Don't really do it for me.
The dog's almost the point of view character, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is, yeah.
He's like your eyes into this world. But I, the only thing I would say is I'm tending to watch it in halves rather than sitting down for one whole episode. Mm. So I don't know whether I'd prefer it if it wasn't just 12-minute episodes a week rather than... Which is why I'm not up to date with it.
And it also has the best opening song of the season.
Oh, it's close. There was a late entry, as we'll get to later on, which coincidentally has a similar march-type sound to it. But yeah, up until something else came along very recently, yeah, it was easily my favourite. But Nandaka Velonica may have pipped it.
God damn it, Brian.
Okay, on to something else. Kill the Kill, which is one episode away from finishing as we record.
This anime is a fucking power ballad of a cartoon. I love it.
A power ballad with nonsense lyrics that as soon as you start listening to them, it's like, wait, this song doesn't make sense. Oh, I don't care.
Sense doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't, but it does mean I like Kill the Kill a lot. I am not invested in it at all. If it just suddenly stopped airing, it's like, what, Kill the Kill stopped? Oh, well.
I don't think something has to make sense to be invested in it.
Oh, dear. The last time I insult Kill the Kill.
Something went down the wrong end. Oh, I'm sorry. Podcast ruined. We'll have to start over, Brian. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, no. It's all... It'll make Anthony feel better when he listens. Like he's going to listen. Right.
If anyone disagrees with me, they're just like, you're damn.
They die.
Yeah.
That's what happens. They die. I
never get the argument that it doesn't make sense either. I can only think of one plot element that I think is going to get left.
No, it's not that it doesn't make sense. It's that... The plot twist, it has the feeling that it's made up as it goes along. It's not, doesn't make sense in the same way Samurai Flamenco is. That's something totally different. It's...
I don't think anything, there's nothing which has happened that has taken me by surprise.
I'm inclined to agree there, but it doesn't feel plotted. It doesn't feel like something that happens now was not planned earlier in the series.
No, I just completely disagree on that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's one element, I think, which will get that left dangling, which is... Oh, I can't remember. Who's the guy who's got the chicken haircut?
The nudist beach guy?
Yeah, the bit with about his sister and the fact that at one point he could hear the school uniform talking. I think that bit.
Yeah, they never followed up on that, did they?
That's because they make it up as they go along.
No,
it's very consistent, and it has a very different feel from it, too, from Samurai Flamenco, where they're clearly making stuff up as it goes along, and I find it impossible to be invested in. But we'll get to that later.
Actually, I will.
It's a useful
would
contrast.
Disagree on that Samurai Flamenco. I think they have done this deliberately, but that's a... Anyway, that's a different song.
I think everything just plays out exactly as it would when you pour all the fighting and sports comics from 1969 to 1984 into a magical girl show.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that as well, yeah.
It has all the beats, so I don't think it's so much worried about necessarily about the plot, but I think it's got all its beats worked out from the get-go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Which I think is more important than plot. Anything you want to add to Kill the Kill, Bradley?
No, it's fabulous. Watch it.
Mako is the best character.
Yeah.
Incorrect. Lady Satsuki, best character.
No!
We will crush you under her fastest heel if you disagree.
No, I think it's Mako. I think Scam's right on that.
Easily Mako. Everything she does is the star of the episode. Herself and the man who is so big, he literally like has to stoop into every room he steps into.
Gamagori.
I love that the two of them are now a pair. I really didn't think that was going to happen, but they just work so well together.
I still think my favorite Gamagori element is the bit where it's revealed that he's 20 years old. Just be keeping himself down.
I think my favorite Gamagori bit is him. It was just only like two or so episodes ago where Ryuko comes out and like slashes all these things and everyone comes out and he's holding like the one cannon that can only get people out at one at a time, and he looks over the rest of them like thinks for a bit and then picks up 10 of them and goes, yes, I could do this.
Okay, on to our next K, Kuroko's Basketball. Bradley, you've been watching this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Kuroko's Basketball is kind of moving on to a really big tournament arc right now. And as I was watching it, I still was having a hard time feeling the excitement that I did during the first season. And I can't put my finger onto why that is. Maybe it has more to do with me than anything that the series is doing right now. But I find it hard to be involved in what's kind of the climax of every episode that has preceded this. It's a bit disappointing. And I don't know why.
Okay, on my list on the winter preview, I had Magical Warfare. However, everyone said it was terrible, so I didn't watch it.
Good choice.
That was smart.
I'll let people fall on the grenade for me there. Okay, on to a late entry. Nandaka Veronica, which Tumblr and Bradley were telling me it was excellent. So I did check it out. The show is not quite as good as its opening, but I don't, a few things could be.
I skipped the opening. I find it obnoxious. But I love this show to pieces, and it's a shame that it's gotten dropped by the fan subbers recently.
Oh, that's the same fan subbers who dropped something else on our list, which you want to watch more of, isn't it?
Yes, I know. Damn it! I think we should describe this show to our viewers, because there's a pretty good... to our listeners, because there's a pretty good chance that they've never heard of this before.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. you want me to do it?
That's
okay.
Right, yeah.
So, okay, I'll try. So it's kind of like Yurusei Yatsura, if Yurusei Yatsura was actually a kid's cartoon, and it felt like a kid's cartoon, in that Veronica is an alien who comes from a highly efficient bureaucratic society who even shower in like a bubble because they want to get that done as quickly as possible. They are all about business. It is very obviously a send-up of Japanese corporate society. They come down to Earth because they need to get they want to sign a contract with Earth and get Earth to buy a bunch of alien stuff. So they need to find who owns Earth. And Veronica discovers to her horror that in the registration, nobody really owns Earth. So she asked her robot, Butler, basically, hey, how do I find out who owns Earth? And he's like, let me consult Earth's sacred manuscripts, which happens to be his shoujo manga. And he flips through and he's like, okay, I need you to put some toast in your mouth and then run down the street. And the first person you bump into, that's the destined one, which I think in this case means they basically own Earth. So Veronica puts the toast in her mouth, runs down the street, bumps into a boy, and tries to get him to sign the contract. You can guess how the contract is signed. He's got to kiss her, and he is not exactly happy about that. It is a cheery, funny, witty cartoon. It's only 10 minutes long. Each episode is only 10 minutes long. I really enjoy it. It doesn't feel entirely original, but it does what it does so well, and it looks great.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not fully caught up, and by the sounds of things, I'm not going to get a chance to. I think there's only 10 episodes of it anyway, so...
Where is it airing?
It airs on NHK, and it was aired over 2 weeks.
Hmm.
So it was like daily for 2 weeks.
Odd. I'd seen it like throw up on the fan subs, but I assumed it was some kind of weird, some of those weird flash things that is like, if it was worth watching, I'd hear about it.
Well, yeah, this was the thing which is worth watching because I heard about it. Yeah, it was all over whoever I follow on Tumblr. Everyone was going, look at this opening. Look how crazy it is.
Sakugo nerds were going over it as well, too. It just looks really good.
It's pretty spiffy. Moving on to... this is a scamp only, I think. So, Nisekoi, is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, God, yeah. So, actually, I'll see if I can rope you guys into doing this. So, Fantasy Anime League. Brad, you did this 1 year and did it terribly.
I did it terribly twice.
Oh, dear. I've come second, like, 3 times and never won it, which is annoying. So it's like football, if you ever do one of those sports fantasy league, football leagues, it's kind of that, except with anime. You just pick anime that you think will be popular that season, and then, pick a team of them, and if your team is most popular, you win. So I challenge, we do it on the blog, so we challenge the writers, like, If you beat us, you get to choose what we blog next season. And I lost, so a person who gave me Nisekoi, which is a trashy harem.
Could have been worse. You poor son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, I remember. This is the thing I skip over every week in Weekly Shonen Jump.
Yeah, basically. It's the most generic of harems basically ever, as far as I can tell.
Come close at times to putting clever twists on these tropes, but they're still so dedicated to just filling in the tropes exactly as they've been done before that it's just fucking bland.
Yeah, it is. It is the most bland thing I think I've ever seen, really. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh fuck, I've got to watch this bland thing. I need to make this more exciting somehow. I'm gonna watch this without any English subs. Which, it definitely worked, because it's being animated by Shaft, and I like their style, Shaft, even if they just mostly make real bad shows, I always like their style, so...
Now, is Shimbo directing this, or one of his proteges?
No, it's Shimbo. Okay. I think it's actually...
Yeah, his name's on it, but so is somebody else's name, so I'm not sure how
Shimbo's,
much...
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the same style, so...
Okay.
It is well animated, and it's, I think the manga has like very silly faces in it anyway. So it kind of plays off that. And so in that regard, it's well animated, but otherwise it is the most generic harami anime ever made ever. And I'm able to follow it perfectly. I've never learned Japanese. I know as better much Japanese as any weeaboo would. I can follow this thing just fine.
Yeah. It's Naoyuki Tatsuwa is the other name directly. Listed as director. And I notice on Anime News Network, the Shimbo one now has a big red eye next to it, so...
Saying he's not actually doing it, yeah.
He may not be actually involved.
Yeah.
I don't think Shaft are doing Makaku City Actors next season. I was trying to think if they were doing anything else at the moment. They're working on
Kizumonogatari. That's next season, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I'm working on Kizumonogatari if it ever comes out.
Yeah, and this Nisekoi is running till the end of May, so...
Yeah, it runs the end of May, and then from the end of May, for 5 episodes, they're running an arc from the Monogatari series that they couldn't air originally, which people claimed was because it was too risque, but actually just because it's Shaft and they never get things done on time. But yeah, so Nisekoi is really bland. It's well... If you like Shaft, this is still Shaft style, and it's still looks good in that regard, but, oh, it's so generic.
Moving on then to Nobunaga the Fall, which I watched half of the first episode.
And oh, I've actually watched two episodes of this.
Decided. Well, the main problem I have is that the character designs, they all look like character designs which looked great on a page and then were horrible to animate.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I especially like how Leonardo da Vinci looks in this one.
I think he's the one guy I actually liked in the show. Everyone else I dislike. See, I gave this two episodes rather than one because of how much I loved Aquaria and Evol. So I was like, I will give this at least one more episode, but even after the second episode, it was, nope.
God, what's his name? Shinji, or, no.
Shoji Kawamori.
Shoji Kawamori, thank you. Well, his involvement in this, it turns out, is not all that much. He came up with the original concept. There is a play that this is tied to that is running somewhere, and he had a hand in that as well, but for the actual anime, not much. Not much.
Oh, well. Then again, it's always difficult because we'll get onto it, but isn't Space Dandy Shinichiro Watanabe, doesn't he actually have not a whole lot of say? He just gets people in.
I believe so, yeah. I think he's producing it more than directing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got another project I hope he's working on.
Yeah, that does...
That one looks a lot like Ina the East.
Yeah.
It
looks like the boring Watanabe to me. Kids of the Slave for Genius Party Watanabe. Okay, moving on to the other Nobunaga anime from the past season. I can never pronounce this. Nobunagan. That's the best way to pronounce it. Nobunagan. I watched two episodes of this. It's fine, but Kill la Kill exists. So therefore, didn't really need to watch any more.
I watched like four or five episodes of this, actually. I think I kept watching it because its style was similar to JoJo's in regards to how it used color.
Yeah, color design's pretty good.
Yeah. So I watched it because of that, but after a while... There was an episode, I think this was episode 3, so you missed it, where one guy tried to convince the main character to work harder, and in order to do that, he created clones of her and then started to, like, molest them.
Yeah.
Which was like, well, this isn't creepy at all.
Yeah. And then he created photos of her with bigger breasts that he passed out to a bunch of soldiers who ended up dying to some monsters, and it's supposed to be an emotional moment of some kind? I don't know. Here's the thing. Yeah. When Nobunaga is fighting, it's actually a pretty fun show, but when it's not...
Oh, my God. Ugh.
I ended up dropping this about 6 episodes into it, so...
Yeah, further than me.
It slid in my estimation the further I got into it, and I dropped it, so.
Okay, Noragami. Yes, this was Region Block, so I didn't watch it. But Scamp, you did.
Yeah, I watched up to episode 7. I was planning on watching more, but it's really well directed and really well animated because it's Bones. And it's a newbie director, I think, someone who hasn't directed something before, but they did a really good job with what's quite an average manga. It's basically the early episodes of Bleach.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar in style as well, actually, to early episodes of Bleach. Bleach maybe has better music, but this is better animation.
Yeah.
But after a while, they got into this plot line with this blondie kid, which kept going, and he kept being incredibly angsty about being a teenage boy, basically. And the more it went on, the more angsty he got and the more frustrating it got just to watch the plot stick on that area. And in the end, I lost interest despite it being real. Like, I'd be interested in keeping an eye on this director because of how well they did with this quite average manga. But they ruined what was actually a quite enjoyable show. With all the angst. Did anyone else watch this?
I saw the first episode. Really underwhelming is a good description, even though it had nice production. And it sounds like I made the right decision, and I'll follow through on it. Mm. But I understand that it's been pretty popular. Or at least it's popular on my Twitter feed. I don't know what that's worth, but...
Yeah, it's probably on mine, but they may just be exactly the same people.
They are exactly the same people, I'm sure.
Well, I keep up with whatever's doing popular on Mal every season.
Mm-hmm.
Simply from a so I can predict Fantasy Anime League well. So Nisekoi is the most popular, but I think Noragami's number two.
Okay.
So, for what that's worth. Well, apart from we obviously Kill la Kill, which is destroys everything else. But that's had a whole extra season to get viewers. Yeah, it is quite popular. I don't think it's doing anything in Japan, but predicting Japan can be quite difficult.
Yeah, I think there's only one thing on the list which is super popular on TV as a new show, which is right at the bottom of the list. Okay, about onto One Piece. I'm back watching this again since the Dressrosa arc started. Are you waiting till it finishes, Bradley, before you watch it all in a weekend?
Yeah, that's the plan. Okay. That's the plan. Especially since, from what I understand, like people are loving the Dressrosa story arc.
It's pretty good. The animation is all over the place, but I think it's standard for One Piece.
Yeah, sounds right.
Who's being dragged off to do other Toei projects. as there was the episode where Cavendish had a tiny Kyoto Animation hand for a moment. One scene, eating a rose, holding a hand which is like would fit inside his ear, let alone his mouth. But the fun of it is really in all the new characters and all the voice actors they're bringing in to play them, and also watching a story which was running in the comic a year ago. Mm-hmm. You now pick up throwaway bits of dialogue which have extra meaning because you know what's going to happen later on that you may have missed first time round.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the animation, but it's only really 15 minutes of cartoon to watch each week once you've skipped over the intro and the recap.
Yes.
Okay, on to a scamp only one, I think, Pilot's Love Song.
Oh yeah, I watched this. It was charming enough at the start. It's basically another Harry Potter style anime where a bunch of kids go to magic school. It's not magic school, it's pilot school on a magical floating island.
Mm-hmm.
And it was charming enough at the start, not well animated at all. My word, it looked like a show from like the early 2000s, like an average show from the early 2000s. The problem is the writing's really bad and it got worse once it started to get serious. One of the most frustrating things in any show I find is when a character sacrifices themselves for no bloody good reason whatsoever to be dramatic about it. You know, that was what killed Sword Art Online on episode 2 for me, which sounds like it was a good thing. And same thing happened here. Character refused to get out of a plane and kicked the girl out of the plane instead. Like, here's your parachute, jump! But there was another parachute in the plane which he could have used, but instead he just let himself die.
Shit. Oh, I see it's set in the same universe as that Princess and the
Pilot.
Yeah,
Princess and the Pilot.
God, that was a boring film.
Yeah, but it was a boring film. This has really nothing to do with it. You don't need to know one to know the other, but I gave up when the writing's starting to get bad and I lost a bit of it. It's because it was kind of fun at the start. Maybe I'm still a sap for Harry Potter style stories, but it was quite fun at the start. But once it got serious, the lack of writing quality really started to show up.
I liked the first episode as well. Oh, I'm hearing myself echo.
Okay. Okay, maybe it's now. Okay, I'll mute myself. Do it.
Okay. I liked what I saw of the first episode, but I kind of felt like it could go either way. As in, it could be really good, but it could also be pretty crap. And the first episode, like, had its moments, like when main shonen heroic boy meets cute girl from literally the other side of the pond, and they bike together through the clouds on that island. I thought that was a really effective moment. It just had trouble following through on that in the next couple of episodes. So, again, it sounded like I was prescient and dropping something pretty quick.
By the sounds of it, from people who've kept watching it, it's got worse, like a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly everyone I know who kept watching it, and people, again, who were quite positive at the start, despise the show now from what it's done, which I actually don't see that level of just what a complete garbage heap. I don't see this level very often, particularly for a show that not very many people watch.
Okay, another one which is on Anthony's list, which was Pupa. He said he watched two episodes and then had enough. Any of you watch any Pupa?
I watched the first episode. I don't see how they could have possibly been successful. The whole thing seems set up for failure. You've got a horror anime that has to set the mood and be scary and be effective in 3 minutes. Oh, and it has some of the worst animation I've seen. There were a lot of series this season, it seems, with pits for animation.
I think any of us have got Wake Up Girls on our list, but I noticed people saying how badly that looked on Twitter.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I watched the movie and the beginning of the TV series, and I ducked out pretty quick. Anyway.
Moving on to Robot Girls Z.
Yay! I loved this.
All Bradley all the time. I have not seen episode one of it.
Again, it's very silly, very expressive. It looks pretty good throughout, and it's just a bundle of fun to watch. It's something that you might think you would want knowledge of super robots to be able to enjoy, but I think all you really need is just an enjoyment of silliness, and maybe you'll want to like cute anime girls as well, though I don't think that's really required either. Just good silly fun. It takes like an hour and a half to finish all, 9 episodes? I loved it. It's my wallpaper now, actually, on my computer, so.
Okie doke. Moving on to Samurai Flamenco. I've not watched anything past episode 2, I don't think, so. Take it away, guys.
Any particular reason you didn't keep up with it?
Time, my case.
In my case, I became convinced that they were kind of making this up as they go along, obviously. Now, they kept reinventing it in increasingly bizarre ways, but I felt like it completely lost the thread of the earlier episodes that I had kind of invested myself in. And I just lost all interest in it. Now, I know for a lot of people, the way that it keeps reinventing itself is exactly the appeal. But there's good improv and there's bad improv, and I think that this is a case of bad improv. Make the case for me, Scamp. What am I missing?
Well, no, because I dropped the show as well. I don't like it, but there's more to do. I dropped about episode 16-ish. But that has more to do with I don't like the thing it is supposed to be a, not a take on, not a, but a commentary on. I don't like Super Sentai.
Oh.
Never liked Super Sentai. I never liked Power Rangers as a kid. Never liked any of the shows that focus on it. Never liked superhero stuff for that matter.
I'm sorry. So, I think I was confusing my kart drivers.
Oh. No, I did cover it for ages. Was it, I just think Shimaru is the one who's crazy about it.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's crazy about the show. It lost me mostly, though, because of that, and also because it keeps reinventing itself. Once you establish that anything can happen, nothing holds meaning. And it's, which, I mean, that's what Space Dandy does, but Space Dandy does things that I enjoy watching, whereas Samurai Flamenco does bad Power Ranger ripoffs. Well, you know, bad Super Sentai. Well, just general Super Sentai material.
It doesn't seem to have any particularly original or insightful parodies of it either. There's the bit where the guy who's recruiting the Super Sentai team ends up basically recruiting all Reds, and that was the cleverest joke in a stretch of about 5 episodes.
Yeah. I gather it's done slightly more as it goes on. But I am glad it exists. I will say, I don't like the show, but I'm glad it exists, and I do think it is trying to do something. I don't think this is made up as it goes along quite as much as it certainly seems like it is. But I don't want to watch it. I respect it exists, though.
But so does Akiba Ranger. You can just watch that instead.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but that's more Super Sentai, and I don't like Super Sentai.
But no, I'm saying if you wanted a parody, there's two entire seasons of a parody done well there.
Mm-hmm.
And also numerous episodes of Sergeant Frog and various other things. Okay, moving on to something my name is against, is Satokai Yaku Indomo. of which I watched the first episode. And then I thought, well, that proved the existence of TQ, right?
What?
Well, this is a gag. It's based on a four-panel gag strip.
Right.
And the show is well animated, it's well acted, it's funny when it sticks to the comic, but because it has to fill a half an hour, it would probably, if it was going through the comic at the speed it should be going through the comic, it would probably only run for four episodes. And so it has to pad everything out, which makes it feel very aimless and distracted.
I didn't like... I saw the first season, well, I think I only watched one episode, but I didn't like it because every single punchline was sex.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's done in a way... It's not done to titillate. It's done because isn't sex funny?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
But yeah, the problem I had with the first series is when it got to an episode where they weren't adapting from the comic, it became titillating. And I was like, you've just missed the point entirely, anime writers. I can't be bothered watching any more of this. And this didn't have much of that in this first episode, but yeah, it just felt like, stop padding it out with stuff which isn't jokes.
I felt so many of the jokes too were just, vagina! Penis! Yeah. Come on. Sex comedy, it felt like sex comedy where the punchline was sex instead of being about sex or some clever observation about overly hormonal teenagers, you know?
Yeah, I think it starts out like that and then it's supposed to, and then it just falls into a rote of this is how this character behaves.
Mm-hmm.
So this person can't resist saying something filthy. Mm-hmm. This person is short. That is literally one character. So the joke is that whenever she's in a scene with other people, more than one other person, is that you only see the top of her head on the screen. Which I suppose saves time in animating. Moving on to something two of you watched, Silver Spoon, Season 2.
Yes. Show suddenly got much better and realer, like quite depressing in a I'm going to sit down and think about my life now, thanks to Silver Spoon.
Oh, man. Oh, man, I have a lot to look forward to, don't I? Because
how far are you?
Last I jumped in, it was still lighthearted.
What episode you're on?
About four or five.
Yeah, it takes a while. I think the first half of the show, like first season, is better than the second. I think it incorporates the whole meatball story. What's the guy's name? Beef? No. Pork bowl,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, her pork bowl story was incorporated more naturally into the story, whereas this time, the darker moments kind of come more suddenly, so it's not as well done. But once it does come in, it hits so hard. Oh, Jesus. Particularly, I just finished episode 10 today, and it was a real... The problem with Silver Spoon is, when it's just faffing about, it's not as funny as it should be. That's my main problem with the show. I like it a lot. I suppose I should describe what it is to people who don't know. It's by the author of Full Metal Alchemist, and it's about a kid who goes to agricultural school, about a city slicker, and everyone there is incredibly stupid apart from him. That's slightly beside the point. So, but the first arc is all focusing on him trying to come to terms with the fact that, yo, on a farm, you kill animals and then eat them. And he kind of forced it, so it has a very, the entire first arc of the show is him coming to terms with that idea, which he does by calling the pig that he's raising pork bowl, and then he has a whole new batch of them, which he calls sausage and bacon. And
it's really heavy-handed, but it's sincere, or the part about thinking about eating animals, and I thought it was thoughtful in its own way. And I guess it's hard to kind of talk about eating animals without being at least a little heavy-handed.
It's heavy-handed, but it doesn't pick a side. It would say that if you are not comfortable with this, we 100% understand you. So while it's heavy-handed, it does it in a way that doesn't feel like it's agenda-pushing, you know?
Right. It doesn't feel judgmental.
Yeah, which is a very difficult thing to do, and that is far and away its biggest... And it does that the same thing in the second season with its arc, which I won't spoil for you, because as soon as I say it, you'll suddenly realize what's going on.
But, oh, dear.
Yeah. But because they do the same, they handle it in the same heavy-handedness, but without pushing a singular side, so it comes very thoughtful. in a show that's actually quite silly and has people dual-wielding pizzas.
Sounds awesome. I can't wait to jump into it again.
Mm.
Okay, moving
on. Although, but if you don't like romances where characters never admit they like each other...
Oh, I think the romance in Silver Spoon is handled really well. I'm looking forward to where that goes.
I like it a lot too, but it is definitely one of those ones where if you're the kind of person who says, just yells at his screen, just fuck already, you're going to be seeing this a lot.
It's so sweet. It's one of those relationships I couldn't yell that at the screen. But I get what you're talking about. Yeah. I've just kind of accepted that for a lot of anime, they're just not going to resolve relationships, and if they stay in that kind of sweet will they, won't they, in just the right way, I tend not to mind. After all, I'm a Rumiko Takahashi fan, and that's all she knows how to write.
Also, they're only like 15, 16 anyway, so, you know, expecting emotional maturity. Also, I'd say the main character is possibly the most perfect husband ever, not necessarily because he's all kind and thoughtful and understanding and will listen to your problems, but because he will make you pizza and bacon.
Okay,
on to some less perfect husband types. Space Dandy.
this is so good.
I am now fully on. I wasn't crazy on the show at the start. I think there was actually some quite weak episodes at the start. But now I'm 100% on board with this show. Some of these latest episodes have been just brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I like how that somehow by forcing itself, well, basically by not forcing itself to be consistent in tone and style, it is actually more consistent in quality than anything else airing this season.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
And the other thing is, I wish we could have a Lupin the Third show, which was like this, where it didn't give a fuck about continuity or tone, or you could just have different directors and writers come on and write a Lupin the Third.
I'd quite like that, yeah.
Script how they wanted.
It really feels like a showcase for talent in the anime industry right now. It's like a portfolio of, we're really damn good at this, guys. We really are. And it turns out, yeah, it has fantastic animation. It is very clever writing. It can be subtle and sad when it wants to be, and it can also be broad and funny within the space of two episodes. I love it too.
Or in the space of one episode.
In the space of one episode too, yeah. There was that, the last episode I saw was the one with the dog and the fleas. Yeah. So.
Oh, that one. The one I really liked was the long lost episode of Kaiba episode, which was basically an episode from Kaiba, which I thought was just amazing, just come out of nowhere from the show. And it was weirdly surreal as well.
That's the next one you got to look forward to, Bradley.
Yeah, actually the last three, I haven't seen the very, very latest one, but the last three, the time paradox one, not time paradox, but you know that one.
Yeah, the time loop and the library.
And the Moe Moe book. That one had the weirdest animation of them all, with its weird monochrome thing. And yeah, I'm not actually sure. Sometimes with the animation, I think that the fight scenes in Space Dandy, because they're so desperate to be as fluid as possible, sometimes they just turn to indescript blobs hitting each other.
Sacrificing detail for movement is perfectly fine in my book. It's kind of a key part of animation, right, Brian?
If you want more of this argument, check out any One Piece on Naruto forums.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I guess I'm sitting on the opposite side of that, but I don't like how they do it in Space Dandy quite often, because sometimes they just become indistinct blobs and I have no idea what they're doing. I think that's when you push it too far. I think.
Well, in case of that plant one, they were actual blobs.
Well, the plant one is deliberately like that. I actually quite like that style. There are definitely other episodes, though. There was one where the awesome lady who takes the alien...
Scarlet,
yeah, her, and she was in a fight scene.
Hello?
Oh. Did we lose Scamp?
Scamp has disappeared due to her heresy. Are you there, Scamp?
Hello? See, this is what happens when people disagree with me.
All right, so yeah, my heresy against Sakuga has criminalized you all. Yeah, but I I think there are definitely, I think Space Dandy goes a little too far in that regard. There are definitely shows that do it better. I think Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood does it better. I think Bebop does it better. They're, in terms of like the best fisticuff animation.
After rewatching Bebop, there are some, there's more dull episodes of Bebop than there has been in the same amount of episodes of Space Dandy.
I'd say they're about comparable. I think there have been some quite dull episodes of Space Dandy. But most of them were at the first half of the show. The second half of the show has been a lot better in my regard.
Well, as it turns out, this is only the first half of the show because it's coming back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Coming back in the summer.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is. And the best thing about watching it in the UK is I can buy it weekly as each episode comes out. Nice HD files, which take up almost a gig each episode.
I've taken to watching anime in 480p on Crunchyroll now. Because I realise I actually don't notice the difference, and because the internet can be spotty, it's like, well, actually I prefer it to look in 480p and just run smoothly. It's like when I play video games now, I turn it down to the lowest quality even when my computer can't handle it. I'm a horrible person.
Okay, moving on from horrible people like Space Dandy and Scamp. To Tanari no Seki-kun, which Bradley and Scamp watched, and I have no idea what it is.
It's the best show of the season that's not Space Dandy.
Oh, I can't agree with that, but it is really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I have, like, a new appreciation for Hanakana. I didn't even know who Hanakana was before I started this anime, but I enjoy hearing her distressed. She just sounds... She's a lot of fun to listen to as she kind of runs through her mind and gets increasingly panicked and works herself up. Gosh, she
is a delight. You should probably watch Psycho Pass then, just say.
I've seen Psycho Pass. I just never made the connection.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's great in this show. Actually, because I've read the manga, and what is fantastic is the people who are animating this 100% get why it's funny.
Yeah.
As you can tell, because the ending is anime original, obviously. And it runs you through, it is a perfect example of why the humor in that show is funny. How she gets into it and then gets embarrassed as she's got into it and looks away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, so it's only 7 minutes per episode. It is a character who sits at the back of the class and mucks about doing really dramatic things on his desk, such as playing a game of shogi, which turns into all out war where characters crash into each other and rip each other apart. And the girl next to him who reacts to him while trying to concentrate, but never does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically in a nutshell. Coming up with increasingly elaborate ways to kill time. His classmate keeps getting increasingly involved in his fantasies. And obviously there's also like a tinge of romance in there as well. especially because other people look at her watching him and think that she is crushing on him, but really she's just very, very concerned about him. Obviously. It's great fun. I watch it pretty much as soon as new episodes air.
I think it's the only one I watch as soon as it comes out. Like nearly every other show, I wait until I have free time. Partly because it's 7 minutes long, so I can just watch it.
It's 7 minutes long and it comes out at a good time for me, just on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, so... Anyway, good stuff.
Sounds like something I should watch. I noticed the director is the current series director on Shin-chan. And has been for God knows how long.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it, Brian.
I wouldn't say it's very Shin-chan, though, from my knowledge of Shin-chan. So
no, it looks more like some of the other stuff. He's been around for ages.
Mm.
I think having a comedic sensibility.
Yeah.
You're going to have it working in that.
Comic type. Because it's, when it's, and often those like 5 minute, 7 minute shows, the reason I don't like them is because when they rush through the jokes like that, they're not funny, but this one really picks jokes incredibly well. So it hits with the punchline at perfect moments. So maybe, even though it's only one joke, only one kind of scene per episode, they pace each joke really well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on to Witchcraft Works. I think, Bradley, you've watched more of this than I have.
Yeah, speaking of shows with good comic timing, goddamn Mizushima, you're a fucking miracle worker, I swear. I had zero interest in this anime, zero interest in its concept when I go into it, and I'm drawn in regardless because it's funny, it's fun to watch, it's violent, and it has no sense of boundaries. And it just all comes together to create a really fun kind of potpourri of stereotypes and familiar tropes that still work really well. How far did you get into it?
I just ran out of time. I only think I've seen the first couple of episodes. I just haven't had the time to watch it.
It keeps building on that and becoming more ridiculous as it goes along. I would probably add it to your rent a copy when the DVD comes out. Because it's another big-breasted girl saves a guy, it is almost certainly going to be licensed and distributed and be popular here in the UK and in the US.
And it has more killer rabbits.
But it has more killer rabbits, and it's actually funny and clever. I've just really enjoyed it.
He does like his killer rabbits.
He does.
Okay.
Come to think of it, yeah, I guess girls... Never mind.
Is there any killer rabbits in Girls and Panzer you're trying to figure out?
That's what I was trying to figure out, and then I realized I think one of the tank teams is a rabbit team. So,
the
yes, there
team.
Are.
The very the main team is killer rabbit team.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, on to Wizard Barristers. I watched episode one of this, and it was very Umetsu, in that it was super slick, and none of the characters connected with me. So I didn't watch any more.
Blah.
However, anyone else watch it?
Blah. I only saw the first episode as well. Blah.
I mean, it's very well animated, that first episode.
It is,
but
I just couldn't get
story-wise, it's like, okay, I can see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Norio Wakamoto as a perverted frog couldn't get me to watch the second episode.
Yup.
I watched the first two episodes of Woozer, the new Woozer series. The first episode was kind of a trick episode, and it was animated in a completely different fashion. And then the second episode was super weak, so I didn't watch any more.
I've never seen any Woozer at all.
It's an acquired taste.
Okay.
When you're adapting a single panel gag strip.
What?
If you've seen the original strips, they're these very wordy single panel things. Like a... You know, like how you'd have a Far Side, Gary Larson's...
Okay,
that sort of
yeah.
Shape.
Okay.
But not that sort of gag. And but yeah, so kind of weak, I thought. World Conquest. Oh, someone who's actually watched it say what the next word is.
Zvezda, I guess?
Plot, yes.
That's how I've been pronouncing it. I really, really like this show. Sadly, the little girls do not wear nearly enough clothes, so I can't really recommend it to anybody in good consciousness. But gosh, when it can get really bizarre and follow its kind of own dream logic as it subverts superhero and super villain stereotypes. And when it does that, it works really well and can be really endearing. Sometimes it will fall into more traditional moe anime tropes. But I generally don't mind when it does that either. The rest of it is just so entertaining that I just kind of accept that with everything else. And I've really enjoyed it. It's not quite Gatchaman levels of clever, but it gets there sometimes.
So the sort of anime which is why you keep your Twitter hidden.
It is, actually, yeah.
Finally on our list, Yokai Watch, of which there were two episodes fan-subbed. And then the same fan subber who abandoned Nandaka Veronica abandoned this as well. Which is a shame, because it's excellent.
It is, isn't it? I wasn't sure about it after the first episode, but I'm totally sold on it after the second episode. That was a great episode.
Yeah, it's like Pokemon if the Pokemon had lives outside of the battles. So sometimes they can't show up because they're on holiday.
And then they show up, but then they're like, well, why should I do this to you? What have you done for me recently? I was busy doing something else. How dare you just summon me like you own me?
But the good thing is, because it is a level 5 show, there is a chance that it will get a dub. Because it's entirely possible that the game will get a DS release in the in Europe at least. You might be able to look, might have to wait a bit longer in the US. And then we'll get a weird localization of, like we got for Inazuma 11, where everyone's got English accents.
Keep us up to date on that. I would like to see how the series goes from here. Because it's an obvious Pokemon knockoff, but it's got some wit to it, and it's just fun to watch.
And
it
sort of addresses that in the first episode. by saying what Pokemon was ripping off in the first place before it goes ahead and rips off Pokemon. and also, it's the big hit of the season in Japan. It's the one which has entered the top 10 regularly. Mm-hmm. And doing much better than Inazuma 11 and Danball Senki were doing. So, which is, I imagine may have something to do with why they're winding down Inazuma 11 now as well. Because the TV show's coming to an end, but then they're doing one more film, I think.
Okay.
And that was the winter anime. On to the spring. Right, the first one, which was on, this is a lot less. We had, on that list, we had 30 shows. On the next list, I think we've got 20. If that. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk as much this time, I swear.
No. First up, we've got, a Barenbo Kishi Matsutaro, which is based on a long-running sumo wrestling manga by, I've forgotten his name, but it's the guy who did Ashita no Joe. And there's many, many volumes to adapt. So.
This is taking over, Toriko's slot, isn't it?
Is it?
It is. Sure whether it was I
wasn't sure whether it was going to be taken over that or Space Brothers. I thought.
Oh, I was just going to ask. Well, what's happened with Toriko? Because you were mentioning, did Japan give up on Toriko?
I suspect they're giving it a break and it'll come back again.
All right. That's all like Fairy Tales doing. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know whether it's got to the point where they took a break in the comic. It was out of Shonen Jump for a month or so. Before I did a time skip. But yeah, this is about sumo wrestling. And that's enough for me to want to check it out.
Same long-running sumo wrestling manga adaptation from a very respected and important mangaka. I'm all over this.
If it gets fan-subbed.
Or Crunchyroll picks it up. I got a good feeling that they'll do that.
If don't pick it up, it won't get fan-subbed.
Yeah, probably.
Or if he does get fansubbed, it'll be by one of those ones who fansub things more slowly than others. They don't do a week. Because I can think of one fansub group, which is, this is their sort of thing, but they're not a weekly fansub.
Is that the one who do, they're the one who also are subbing Ashita no Joe, because isn't that's not actually finished fansubbing yet?
Yeah, well, they don't need to, because Ashita no Joe 2 is, is on Crunchyroll, so.
You're right.
Wait, it is?
It is, yeah. It
just got announced, yeah. Because I was actually looking at picking it up, but then when I saw that the people who were subbing it were still only, they were like 2/3 of the way through, and this was like 3 years ago. But they were very slow, so.
I can see it getting picked up, just because it may be.
Crunchyroll got all of Ashita no Joe?
No, just two.
Just two, oh.
It seems bizarre, though, like getting two but not one.
Oh, I've got a spreadsheet somewhere which may explain this, but I'm not going to dig it out. I think they may have slightly different production companies.
Oh.
Okay.
Or maybe broadcast on different TV stations. I can't remember. It's one of the two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to see Ashita no Joe for a very long time, but nobody has ever finished fan subbing it. So.
The group subbing it, I think, are Saizen.
Okay.
I think that's the group, so look them up. Because I know they're nearly done, surely. They may only sub one episode every 3 months, but...
Anyway. Ashita no Joe, Ed 2 has the important scene that everyone parodies in it, so...
Oh, is Ashita no Joe, is it 2 the one that has the important... The one scene I actually want to watch the whole show for?
Yes.
Okay. Even if it's the very last episode.
Yeah.
how it ends. I'm curious how it gets to that, though, so...
Okay, next on the list is Akuma no Riddle.
Yeah, it's a Yuri anime that sounds pretty badass. So a girl goes to an exclusive all-girls-only school, but she is targeted by 13 assassins one of the assassins ends up falling in love with her and defends her against other assassins. A+ for concept. Let's see how the execution works out.
By the author of Loveless, if you like your BL.
Oh, fuck me. This may not be any good.
But I bet you it will be some people's favorite show. Just as this is some people's favorite.
I guess.
And also the staff are quite bad as well.
It hasn't done very well on TV recently, so. I keep cheering for it because I want more Yuri TV shows, but. Anyway.
Baby Steps. It's one of yours, Bradley.
Yeah, it's a sports anime adaptation. I will always watch as many of those as interest me. This one's about tennis, and I think it's a Madhouse adaptation. I'm not sure. That may not mean anything good or ill, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means anymore. It's Studio Pierrot.
It's Studio Pierrot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Madhouse... yeah, Madhouse. We see the things they're adapting this season. Like...
It's probably some other stuff that I just... skimmed over and didn't seem interested in.
Madhouse, what I know they're doing for certain is the irregular magic high school, Mahoka, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's going to be this season, Sword Art Online.
And they're also doing No Game, No Life.
Yeah, so, you know, real high quality light novel adaptations.
Jeez. Oh well, gotta make that money.
Well, yeah. And it does also kind of feel like that. So, is it NTV had bought a share in them, but now NTV have got a share in Tatsunoko as well. So I wonder if they're just going to lose interest in using Madhouse at all. Okay, moving on to Black Bullet, which is Anthony's pick. No idea what that is, so let's skip straight over.
It's a crappy light novel.
Okay, there you go. Don't even know why it's on Anthony's list. What a fool.
I am season preview master, ask me anything.
Okay, yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, is it up yet on your blog?
Yeah, yeah.
It is? Okay, yeah, I'll check that out later. Guys, read that. It's fun.
Another Anthony choice, Blade and Soul. Apparently based on MMO.
Yeah, it's a Korean MMO. Looks like it's very titastic. Like, nearly all, when you, like, do Google anything from the show, it's just those of, like, women not wearing not many clothes, but looking really angry about something. So... I don't think it's like...
And it's by Gonzo, so it'll be terrible.
Oh yeah, that too. Actually, like, the animation in the trailer looks alright, but...
Again, it's by Gonzo. They're very good at doing a first episode. It's the it's the rest of a show which eludes them.
I actually thought their Last Exile sequel was well animated. But...
Breakblade.
I don't know what Gonzo is nowadays.
No, I don't. They were nothing for a while. And they seem gradually be coming back. Breakblade, though. Bradley, you got this down. And Anthony had written, this is the type of mecha show I love the look of.
If I remember correctly, and Scamp probably knows more about this than I do, Breakblade was originally a series of movies, and I guess they're adapting it into a TV series. Now, are they just recutting the movies, or is this a new adaptation of the same
No, story? They're recutting the movies and adding the odd new scene in. I recommend watching it. It's a... If you like mecha that, like, feel like mecha and punch each other with real weight, I think they are possibly the best mecha fights I've seen almost ever. I think there's such weight, because these are, like, the cumbersome, ugly mechs that, like, when they move, it feels like a real effort.
I watched the first movie a while back, and I liked it. I just never followed through on the rest of it, so.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch the TV series, see how that works for me.
Yeah, the only problem is it does peter off and then ends on kind of although there has been word that there may be a second season coming, so that this may be a lead into that.
That would make sense. That would make sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm predicting anyway, because I remember hearing that a while back and then there's not a peep and then this was announced. So I have a feeling now may be a good time to get into it then. Still a good mecha show if you like mecha shows.
Talking of mecha shows, Captain Earth from Takuya Igarashi directing and Yoji Inokido writing the Star Driver team.
Seems really promising. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, wasn't there a bit of preview art they put out and pulled because it gave too much away from later on in the show?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I think, yeah. Because I think that I'm sure I'd read a discussion with him earlier that it's going to be... It will escalate as the show goes by. So it will look like one ship. It won't necessarily resemble the show it started as by the end of it.
Oh, like Samurai Flamenco.
I imagine it might be a little smoother than that.
It's like just it's a regular mecha show, and then out of nowhere, out comes a giant gorilla with a guillotine in his chest and chops the mecha's head off. Anyway.
But yeah,
yeah, it's the Star Driver staff. So if you like Star Driver...
Or if you thought you might like Star Driver and wish they were doing something less mask-orientated, then this might be for you. It looks a little less fanciful than the Star Driver does, which I think is what they've said. I think early on it's more about space travel than sort of actually leaving the Earth.
I would kind of miss that. I really liked how Star Driver looked. But anyway.
I mean, the robots look pretty good in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the animation looks great in the advert. So yeah, looking forward to that. Then we Anthony wants to give Fairy Tail another shot. I don't know why you'd want to when One Piece exists. Then I've got on my list Haikyuu, which is the volleyball show from Production IG. Mm-hmm. Mainly because it's directed by the guy who directed Cute Little Detective and various Squid Girl episodes and various Azazel-san episodes.
I thought it was the person who directed Kuroko. I might be wrong. I think it's just, yeah, there's a lot of similar crossover staff, I think, between the two.
Could be. When I originally wrote it on my list, it was him, so unless anything's changed, let me
talk about it. I might be wrong on that. I think it's just they're both Production IG. So...
Is the guy you're thinking of, Brian, a protege of Mizushima?
He certainly is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
it's
encouraging.
Not a very comedy show. That's the only thing from what little I've read of the manga, it's very similar to Kuroko. Like, it feels like it was maybe inspired by Kuroko.
But yeah, at the same time, I'm interested to see what he brings to a sports show. Whether he'll be moulded by the material or whether he'll mould the material, I think.
Mm.
Okay, moving on to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Hallelujah.
I'm looking forward to this so much that we're starting a spin-off podcast.
Yes!
After looking at how long... it was almost 3 hours, the last JoJo's podcast we did, to cover just the Joseph part. Mm-hmm. So, me and Anthony and Dwayne and Niall from The Secret Sailor Madness... We're going to do a separate JoJo's podcast weekly.
That's sweet.
And also because they were the most downloaded episodes of the past year as well, which made me think. We could promote our other podcasts by just doing a JoJo's podcast.
JoJo's is pretty amazing. It is definitely... And the fact, like, I hope they keep going. I really hope they keep going and do it all. And the fact that they've kept the same staff... Because I'd seen the original OVAs and wasn't crazy on them at all. And then I saw the new season from, what was it, a year ago now? And thought it was the greatest thing ever. So, if it wasn't this staff, I would be a lot less excited. But it is, so yes.
They are really good at hiding their weaknesses as well.
Particularly yes.
With the colour design. And, of course, then going back and reanimating stuff for the Blu-rays. But, it's a moment. It feels like they've got momentum. I think the entire franchise has momentum at the moment. So, I would be interested in seeing them just carry on, plow through.
I really hope they get to a Steel Ball Run. That looked like a lot of fun. So,
yeah, Steel Ball Run. What I've heard of this is it is set in American Wild West with the American president called Funny Valentine. Who was trying to take over who was trying to spread his nationalism using the body of Christ, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like such a crazy piece of weird satire from JoJo's that it's like, I need to see this. And it's really popular in Japan, JoJo's, so hopefully they will keep making it. But.
Still waiting for the digital release, though, that Viz says we're coming for the comic.
Was it never legally streamed over here?
No, it wasn't, no.
Because of Roundabout.
Yes, because of Roundabout. Almost certain. Like, nobody says it, but yeah, it's got to be what it is.
What classic hit will they have as their ending theme this year? Yeah, to prevent it being licensed. Okay, moving on to Kuroro. 10 years since the original Sergeant Frog anime started.
And they're remaking it with a Flash anime?
I don't think they're remaking it now. I think it's just a Flash thing with the characters in. Because okay, the trailer suggests, unfortunately, that there appears to be some sort of Scrappy-Doo-like frog in it.
Uh-oh.
There is an additional young frog in the trailer for this. So I was like, ooh, I hope they're not going to ruin it. Having said that, I mean, I always thought they shouldn't have gone past the...
I think it was the 51st episode.
No, the 100, it's around the hundreds. It's the arc where the replacement team of frogs get sent to Earth. After the comic peaked, and because of that, the TV series had peaked as well.
Okay. I never got that far into it. I think I first hit filler 51 episodes in.
Yeah, there's about 50 episodes of filler, and then they hop back on the comic for that arc.
Yeah, I'm glad I got out when I did. It was fantastic while it lasted, so hopefully this new Flash series is more like that, less like... Anyway.
Moving on to another show, which is an anniversary since the original started, 17 years since the original started on this one. Kindaichi's Case Files are...
I actually read the first volume of the manga for this. I really liked it. It feels very traditional, boys' adventure... detective kind of thing, and that's right up my alley. So I have high hopes for this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out. I think I've seen some of the original TV. I think it suffered in comparison to Detective Conan at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But now it has the advantage coming back that, again, there's just so much Detective Conan. I've lost track of where the general meta plot has got on that, if it's got anywhere. I see from news reports that he's hinting that the big villain has already appeared in the strip of Conan. But getting sidetracked. Let's go to move to Knights of Sidonia, which Anthony had on his list and Scamp had it on his list.
Wish this wasn't CG animated.
Yeah, if it wasn't CG, it would be on my list as well. But
I've read only a small bit of the manga, but it was really good from what I read. Real proper sci-fi. One of the ones that sucked you instantly in with it's kind of darky sci-fi, but not like grim dark. More like I've woken up on a strange planet and it's all dark and grungy here, but we're being taken into this facility and then talk. I can't really describe it, actually. That's a real crap way to describe it, but it's giant robots as well. But the CG looks like PS2 cutscenes. Which, it's being streamed on Netflix in America, which means it may end up getting, like, simulcasts, basically. Which means it may end up getting, like,
the Netflix streaming is coming later in the year.
Oh, you're right, actually. Yeah, you are right.
It is.
I think I may end up waiting for that, if I watch it at all.
I'm interested in I feel like I've watched enough CG animated stuff now that I can get by it, but then every now and then something with good CG animation comes along, like the Code Geass OVAs, reminds me why am I putting up with this crap?
Yeah, I see bad animation all the time, but bad CG animation in TV anime is so offensively terrible, in Arpeggio of Blue Steel, that... I'm going to keep my expectations low for how this will work, and hopefully that will help me enjoy this, but I'm skeptical.
And also it seems a weird choice for the pencil line of the original comic as well.
Mm.
I know lots of people who liked his Blame series.
Oh, he does Blame as well?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Actually, yeah, they do have quite similar art. Very dark.
Yeah, so I suspect there may be a great wailing and gnashing of teeth when this gets released, and people, it doesn't live up to their hopes.
I should just read it, and read Blame for that matter.
Okay, moving on to a Bradley choice, Love Live! Season 2.
Yep, what's the hot new otaku shit right now? Love Live Season 2, it's coming up. I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, I still don't think of myself as an idol fan, but I keep finding good, colorful, funny idol anime. Idolmaster and Love Live are kind of the standouts right now. I'm just looking forward to this. The music is crap, but I can get over it, as long as it keeps being funny and expressive.
I have not seen...
Oh, you would hate it.
I'm sure I would.
You would hate it.
another Bradley choice, Maho Shoujo Taisen.
So this is a new Gainax anime, which doesn't mean anything right now, but it is a magical girl show where each magical girl is based on a district in Japan. So I'm hoping that it will be mildly entertaining and educational.
What was interesting about the... If you've seen the promo art for this, it looks quite phenomenal. And that's because each design was submitted via Pixiv or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so they did like a competition, and if your design was best.
Crowdsourced the magical girl designs. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, problem with that is, I don't know if that means they'll animate well.
I was going to say, yeah.
And
what did the people designing these get paid? Or did they just win a prize?
I don't know.
Probably nothing. For exposure.
It turns out we won't be able to license it because... The rights are tied up with multiple people. Because that's always what happens when American comics have done, like, design a superhero. Eventually that superhero has to be killed off because they forgot to write the contract properly and so can't republish. Okay. Moving on to, talking of Marvel superheroes, American superheroes, Marvel Disc Wars, The Avengers. Which asks the question, what if Marvel superheroes were Pokemon? So in this show, apparently, all the Avengers have been turned into Pogs. But Spider-Man rescues them from Loki and gives them to Japanese schoolchildren to summon them. In order to sell a game. I'm totally on board with this.
I am too. I'm skeptical it's going to get more than 3 episodes fan-subbed. Because you know we're not getting this legally streaming.
You might do on the Marvel site. Remember, Marvel streamed the live-action 1970s.
Yeah,
so
but
Spider-Man.
Who knows?
Who knows? It may show up, but it may show up in a place you're not expecting, I think. I think it's probably the likelihood. And I'm sure it'll show up eventually, dubbed. No doubt about that. Okay, M3. This is on Scamp's list.
Because
Mecha, he says.
Because Mecha, yeah. It's a new show announced by... It's like it's the same Shoji Karamori team, but he's not doing the directing. He's just designing the Mecha. I mean, I've only got it on my list because it's a big satellite Mecha show, and I always watch them ever since Evol. Even if the last one I watched was Nobunaga the Fool. So I may have to change this rule soon enough. But... I don't know, it looks like a mecha show. I don't know, I haven't even really been paying attention. I saw it was a satellite mecha show, and I was like, well, fine. It's got the director who did, like, Aria and Sailor Moon, that person, I've forgotten their name.
Oh, yeah, Junichi Sato.
Yes.
Oh, it's a Junichi Sato mecha show. Okay, yeah, I'm sold, yeah. That guy's really consistent. So.
On the other hand, they've got Mariokada writing the scripts.
Still sold. She does interesting stuff. Not necessarily good, but interesting.
I mean, I disagree, but only... I like her shows the less serious they take themselves. The more serious they trade generally. As a general rule, they're terrible. I just hate that style of writing.
Well, Junichi Sato does comedy very well, so maybe this isn't a very serious show.
We'll see. I think I saw the trailer and it looked kind of serious. I mean, again, I just watch it.
Yeah, it's load the artwork is loads of teenagers sitting in the dark.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But yeah, okay. I watch the Mecha show because they always tend to be the more ambitious shows. That's made a part of the reason, apart from just liking giant robots. They also tend to be quite ambitious.
I suspect that Shoji Kawamori is just constantly designing robots, and at some point, Satellite have to say, well, we better make a show out of these.
I think that's what is why Buddy Complex exists. There's no other reason why. That show has, like, no soul. no.
It also exists to allow the New Japan World Champion to walk on stage with a dinosaur to promote it.
Let's talk about something good now.
Okay, moving on to... Well, no, maybe not. This is an Anthony choice. Makaku City Actors. He didn't give any notes why he was picking that. But let's see if he actually watches it.
That's the new Shaft cartoon,
it
right?
Is, yep. Yes.
It the character will... designs are by the same person who did the Vocaloid designs, right? Is that its claim to fame?
No, it's not that. It's... All right, how to explain this? It is... It originally started as a series of music videos made in the Vocaloid program.
Okay.
The songs are awful, shockingly bad, but they have this story attached to them, and that story got really popular.
Okay.
And they, from that story, from all these songs they started making through this Vocaloid program, that then turned into manga, it then turned into light novels, and now it's an anime.
So it's Homestuck the anime.
Yeah, closest maybe to between that and Black Rock Shooter.
Okay.
You know. So super, super niche product, but that niche apparently has loads of money to spend on.
Yeah, well, so. It's like, it's got like a million views on Nico Nico, which for Nico Nico is like basically their Gangnam Style. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I read the manga and I hated it, but I kind of can guarantee you it will be popular amongst teenagers this season. It will be, you know, pro tip for anyone who's going to take fantasy anime late this season, pick Makaku City Actors. Just saying.
Okay, moving on. It is the Moe Hellblazer Mushishi. I think everybody had this on list but me.
He's that Moe is a John bizarre description of it.
He is Moe John Constantine. Wanders around smoking, helping out people with supernatural problems.
Only you, Brian. Only you. Wow. I'm really looking forward to this. I never thought we'd see more than the first season. The first season was fantastic. The new special that was aired several months ago was fantastic.
In January, yeah. That special was so... relieving in how good it was just as good as anything else the first season did.
Absolutely, yeah, it totally played to the original season strengths and just
pulled
it off without a hitch.
After like 9 years without it, and they come back.
It's like,
yeah, it is. It was 2005 originally.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's how long it took them to make a sequel to this thing, which was like, it did well in Japan. It was like a bit bizarre that they never got a sequel.
Well, I understand, like, the manga was talked about for a while as one of the best manga ever made. It was getting some crazy awards for a while there, so, huh.
It was always one of those strange ones, like, why hasn't this got a sequel? There's enough manga to adapt. It was popular. It sold well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because Hiroshi Nagahama was busy playing with rotoscope.
Yeah. And that's why seeing this special is like, oh, they can still make Mushishi good. Yes.
Is he directing this?
Yes.
Yeah. It's all the same people, really.
All right. That's cool. This I guess he has to make up for Flowers of Evil selling roughly no copies.
Yeah, these were also, I think, combined with how much that cost to make as well. I think it's the bigger problem.
Yeah, apparently. Jeez. Anyway.
I'll teach him to be experimental. Stick to what you know.
Yes! Don't do anything interesting, damn it.
Not if it's going to cost more money, and then trick people into thinking it costs less money. Which apparently happens to various people. It's experimental, we've got to let people know.
It's almost like animators know almost nothing about business.
There you go. Moving on, like one more thing, well, a couple more things actually, one more series, and that is Ping Pong.
Yes! Hyped for this. Yuasa, new Yuasa anime. Apparently adapting a short and critically acclaimed manga. I can't see how this will fail.
Yeah, looks good to me. And also we'll get a Yuasa Space Dandy episode in the next series of Space Dandy.
Nice!
We already basically got a U.S. episode space, Danny, that wasn't U.S. but might as well have been.
I know, so you're going to get two.
I thought it was U.S. I actually went on Twitter and said, oh my god, U.S. the Space Dandy episode. I knew it was coming. And then people were like, no, that wasn't him.
No.
Was it one of his proteges?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
The Korean lady whose name I can't pronounce.
Ooh.
She's working on Ping Pong as well.
Cool.
She works on every one of his shows. Because I went looking up afterwards and yeah, she's on every single one of his shows.
Yeah, this looks good. I think I wasn't sure how much Fantastic Elements there were going to be. Then I watched the trailer for the live-action film from the early 2000s. And it looks like the Pecco character seems to have a very rich fantasy life.
Mm.
And then you got all those little trailers for each character as well, which was been going up on YouTube to get you...
So there's a bit of supernatural to this?
No, I don't think there's anything supernatural to it. I think it's more imagination as far as I know.
Yeah, okay.
But I wouldn't rule it out. I've not read the comic, and it is Taeo Matsumoto, so there may be some weird swerve later on. Because Black and White seemed very grounded, and then it sort of went off somewhere else. And the other thing which I'd forgotten about that Scamp on his list is the new anime Mirai.
Yeah. The one I'm excited for is the one by the guy who did Time of Eve. Terrible at remembering names for directors.
I think there's only one which caught my fancy, but I can't.
Yeah, it's called like Harmony, and it's that director, and I like everything he does and will scoop everything up by him. So he's doing one this season. There's always at least one per season that's worth watching. The others I'm slightly less interested in, but I always watch them all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the one with the weird
furry designs.
Yeah, that was the one I was more interested in.
After seeing the Little Witch Academia documentary, I've kind of come to the conclusion that Anime Mirai is still worth it, even when kind of the anime that it comes up with tend to be are subpar, just because of the training that it gives the next generation of animators. So, still worth watching, though. Still worth checking out.
Yeah, and if anything, the fact that good things come out of this is the bonus. Rather than...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. And you don't have to watch them. You can just be happy in the knowledge that it's training animators, even though you don't have to. So I think I watched The Witches and The Death Billions last year. I didn't even look at the other two.
Yeah, same here.
The other two were bad.
Okay.
One was Gonzo and the other was like a light novel adaptation.
Ugh.
Prepare them for the industry.
Yeah. It would have been better. It was light novel adaptation about a guy who's in love with his sister.
What better training is there?
Yeah.
Have you any ones we've missed?
I'm good. I'm sure there'll be other stuff that I'll discover and like.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be
complete or not. Like, but fuck that shit.
There'll probably be stuff which surfaces that wasn't on any of these preview lists at all.
Yeah. Always happens. There's always some nice surprises.
I find it looking like quite a shallow, but it's not a lot I'm interested in. But it has JoJo's and Mushishi, and therefore I can't be negative. Because those are two of my favourite anime of all time.
Well, as I always say, if there's five shows I liked in a year, I think that's a good year. Because I'm not obsessively watching everything. Mm. Anyway, time for a quick game of Kids or Creeps. So, explain to Scamp. Kids or Creeps is where I give you the name of an anime show, and you have to tell me whether it aired for kids or whether it aired for creeps, i.e. did it air before 9 p.m. or after 9 p.m.
Ah. Okay, this is interesting.
Righty-ho. So, Scamp, as this is your first time, you can go first.
Mm.
So, the first show, is this for kids or creeps? So, Scamp, Galaxy Angel Phase 2. Kids or creeps?
I've seen, like, one episode of Galaxy Angel. I would say creeps.
No, it aired in the morning. It was for kids.
Huh? Damn it.
Bradley, Pokemon.
Yes. Kids?
You're correct.
Okay.
Why did you get an easy one? Oh, bias.
Okay, Scamp, Cooking Master Boy.
Oh, surely kids.
You are correct.
Yeah, there we go.
Bradley, Love Hina.
Creeps.
Yes. Scamp.
I don't jump.
Maze Mega Burst Space.
Wait, aren't there like multiple shows called Maze?
There's only one TV show. These are all TV shows.
I'm going to say kids.
No, it's for creeps.
Oh, yep. Damn. Unless I'm thinking of the wrong maze.
Bradley, Sakura Wars.
Oh. See, it had a video game that was pretty chaste, I understand. Maybe? Alright, I'm going to go with creeps for this.
No, kids.
I could see that, yeah.
Okay, Scamp, Nier Under 7.
Oh, surely creeps.
No, kids.
Really?
Interesting.
Huh.
Bradley, Gatekeepers. Remember that? People used to like that. Gatekeepers.
They did? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Early 2000s show with character designs by the same guy who did Nadesco TV.
Oh, really? Holy shit. No, I have no idea what you're talking about. Creeps.
No, it's for kids.
Damn it.
Yes.
Scamp, Hyper Police.
Oh, creeps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Draw on equal now with Bradley.
Oh boy.
Bradley.
Yes.
Chobits.
Chobits, creeps.
You are correct.
That word was obvious.
He pronounced it funny though. I always heard it as Chobits.
Could be right. I've never heard any. All I've heard is people in those stupid ears going, making whatever noise that character makes. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, it's. I used to call it Chobits, but in the show they say Chobits. So I was like, oh, right.
Back to Scamp. Tenchi in Tokyo.
Oh. Creeps.
No, kids.
Ah, oh, was all a
Tenchi for kids? Wow. Huh. Okay.
Okay, yeah, Bradley.
But Lohina was creeps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that aired at 10 PM. Whereas I think Tenchi was 6:30 or something.
Mm.
Okay, Scamp. But back to Bradley. Did you carry Neo?
It's gotta be creeps.
No, kids.
Yeah, I would have figured Digicarrot's very, like, cutesy, and that would make it kids.
Yeah, it could work for kids, but, I mean, it wasn't that inspired by an otaku manga of some kind, or
yeah, it was
character inspired, good show.
Yeah, it was a mascot character.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the first series is very otaku-y, but they gradually remove all that as they went along. Mm. Scamp. Slayer's Try.
Kids.
You are correct.
Yes.
Bradley, Turn A Gundam.
Kids.
You are correct.
Oh. I wouldn't have expected that.
Scamp.
I mean, it's still 1990s Gundam, so...
I suppose didn't like Gundam...
That would air in prime time.
Yeah, all Gundams.
Gundam 00 air in, like, that prime time slot that airs at, like, 8 o'clock.
Yeah. They've all been...
Yeah, right.
Late night Gundam shows.
Hmm.
Okay, back to you, Scamp, for Tenchi GXP.
Creeps.
You are correct.
Yes.
It got into creep territory by that point. Okay, Bradley, .hack // sign.
Kids?
No, creeps.
Damn it. Nobody, that's the correct answer.
Chance to take the lead, Scamp. Your last question.
Oh.
Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Oh. Creeps.
No, kids.
No!
I can't believe they aired that during
the day. Yeah,
anyway, yeah. Crazy.
And finally, Bradley, chance to take the lead. Otherwise, it's going to be a draw.
Okay.
Kindaichi Case Files.
Kids!
You're correct.
Oh, I knew the answers to that.
And the new one is two.
Because they both air basically, like, straight after or before Detective Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they used to air alongside, because I did this research for the season preview, they used to air alongside Detective Conan, mm-hmm. and they're bringing it back to put in the same slot again.
For what it's worth, I knew Utena, too, off the top of my head.
You did?
I did. Did.
I suppose, were they, like, trying to capture a Sailor Moon crowd?
Yep.
Yep. Basically.
Yeah, it's just, it's a magical girl show if a guy who, if it was designed by a guy who tries to dress like David Bowie.
Wait, and this is the show where the guy, like, flips out onto the top of the car and speeds down as he takes off his, and...
Isn't that in the movie? Yes. Is that in the TV?
No, it's the TV.
It's
well.
In both.
It's in both.
And the TV is hypersexual as well, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of sex. Well, not a lot of sex.
Heck, the movie was a children's movie as well. I think it was paired with some other children's property when it aired. I forget what, though.
Pokemon.
I don't think it was that
time.
No,
I was joking.
It would have been something like Pokemon. It would have been the equivalent of Pokemon, from what I remember. But it was a double feature with something else. Anyway.
But, yeah. There you go. Well, things... I mean, Tokyo... Tokger, the current Super Sentai show... had a train burst out a coffin with its train dick, so... What you...
Yes!
Oh, Japan.
Best part of the show so far.
Yeah. Okay, that is how you play Kids or Creeps. And I'll be back again for the summer preview. So, Scamp, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at thecartdriver.com. It's an Animu blog where we... You know, I recommend, since we've already half-plugged it here, there's a season preview, which I go down in excruciating detail every single show that comes out in the season, and then slowly lose interest and go into less excruciating detail when it's a light novel adaptation and we all clearly know where it's going to go. And then even less excruciating detail when it gets into four comas. But
Scamp consistently does a good job on those. I recommend it.
Otherwise, it's mostly covering shows episode by episode. We've got a team of writers there. Yeah, and that's about it. Also, on Twitter, /5camp, because someone else chose Scamp.
Was it the puppet from the Sooty Show?
No, unfortunately. It was just some other twat who doesn't use it anymore.
Bradley, where can people find you on the internet?
They can't. I've disappeared. I'm private.
You've gone dark.
I've gone dark. I mean, if I blog again, and maybe I will now that I'm about to graduate and get a full-time job, it would be at thosedamncartoons.com. If you ask nicely, you can read my Twitter feed, which is where you'll get instant reactions to whatever I'm watching at the moment. That's where I tend to be most active.
You'll have to get a Tumblr so you can just blog casually.
I got a
Tumblr. I do that. I've thought about doing that. But I like the more, what little formality there is in a blog, I like that, so I'll probably keep the WordPress blog for now.
How long did you last blogging, just out of interest?
About 8 months, fairly consistently, and then school just got increasingly tougher, and I didn't so much lose time as I just lost energy, because it would often take me a lot of time and thought to get a good blog post out. And even then, most of them were pretty bad.
Actually, my kind of interest, Brian, how long have you lasted blogging?
It's been a while. I've got, how do you handle how long I've lasted with blogs not being finished and posted? Because I've got loads of things. Let me have a look. So, Awesome Engine goes back to August 2006, but I actually started in 2007.
Okay.
I just imported a load of posts from my old Live Journal.
Oh.
But I was blogging on Live Journal since 2003.
Oh my word, you're way, because I'm fairly old at my anime blog standards. I started blogging summer 2008, and then the Cart Drive existed 2010, and I imported a bunch of things from an old WordPress.com blog that I used to write for, and then decided, fuck this shit, I hate these guys, and went and started my own site.
But I've got various plans, but yeah, I've just been very busy this year with work stuff so far. But hopefully that should be done. Now I've got my new job. Same as my old job with more money. Quite how that works, but there you go. Not entirely sure they needed to create a new position, to be honest. But it's got me £2,000 more a year, so I'm not going to complain.
Grats.
Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. And if I do anything on the internet, you'll find it linked there. And occasionally things I don't do on the internet, such as panels. at conventions. And as always, you can find this podcast on... won't find my voice, though, apparently.
You can find this podcast!
And as always, you can find this podcast on iTunes. Why don't you leave us a review so you can let everyone else know about the joy that is Dynamite in the Brain. Was that about right, Brian?
That's about... You can also find it on dynamiteinthebrain.com and on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain. Though, that would require me to cross-paste there. I may get rid of that at some point because Facebook is a pile of shit.
I stop. My Facebook is kind of depressingly underused.
Those pages, they're just a scheme to try and make you pay them money to make sure the people who actually liked the page see the posts you make.
Yup.
It's a scam. It's a swizz. Anyway, yes, Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Later.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.